been having a study in John on Wednesday nights. Arlene put forth the word on that. That's really been a real blessing unto me. And I'm sure everyone else that hears it or hears the track from it. But there's one in back in chapter 4. We're going to go to John 4. 424. And I'm going to read up just a little bit before this. The 24th verse is what I want. And that's what I'm going to speak on this morning. Of course, we know in this chapter, Jesus sees the Samaritan woman at the well and speaks to her and tells her some very important things she needs to know. So in verse 21, I'll just start there. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. Verse 23, But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If we go back to verse 23, we notice it says, true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. You could replace that true, also means real. The real worshipers. And so anyone and everyone who worships God really must worship him in spirit and in truth. For it's not of the flesh, but of the true spirit, which is the Holy Spirit. Jesus speaks here to the woman at the well, Samaritan, and really it's speaking of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and how important the indwelling of the Spirit is for us, because it says in verse 24, we must worship God in spirit and in truth. And there's no other way really to worship him. I mean, I believe you can call upon God at any time, but I also believe that there's an order and a purpose in which the Lord has everything set in place. We know that from Genesis to Revelation. We know that from other times of sitting in the Word and studying in the Word, that there's an order for everything. And I believe that the order is, for me, the order was to be saved and then to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. A water baptismal, an outward showing that I've had accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And even though at the time all that happened, and I was baptized here, so I went a long time since I was saved as a little boy to the time that I was baptized here, that I really felt that the Lord had a time for me and a purpose for me to be baptized at that time. That the really acceptance of Jesus Christ came in more depth and more realism and more diligence. As I studied here in the Word and heard the Word, I brought forth out of this congregation and from that pulpit up there. I also know that to be filled with the Spirit is very, very important, because I know I didn't really know at the time what the Holy Spirit was all about, but I know I wanted to be filled, and I asked the Lord that he would fill me, and it took a while, but he did. I was filled with the Holy Spirit, and at that point in time, I felt like my eyes had been open, completely open, as if I'd been, you know, walking around with closed eyes. And really, in a way, I kind of had, because I felt the eyes to my soul, my inner being, was opened up unto the Lord and unto his word. And from that point on, it's been several years now, but from that point on, I really started to learn more and understand so much more about the Word and what God's plan is Sure, we know his plan is of salvation, and that's wonderful, and it's his salvation, not ours. And we know that it's because of Jesus that we even have a right standing with our Father. We know he intercedes for us on our behalf each and every day, each moment of every day we walk here. But without the Holy Spirit dwelling in you, you really can't get the whole depth, the meaning of the Word of God. And it's just wonderful. It's the most precious gift. I mean, it's all precious, but being filled with the Holy Spirit was truly a marvelous thing for me. So, let's go to John 7. John 7, and I'm just going to read a couple verses out of here. In John 7, in verse 37 and 38, this is Jesus' words, red letter words again, in Jesus' words. He says, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And if it says here, as the scripture has said, and that's found in Isaiah 44:3. I'm just going to go there real quick and read that for you. Isaiah 44, chapter 44 and verse 3. It says the heading of this chapter 44 in my Bible, so the promise of the Spirit. In verse 3 it says, for I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my Spirit upon thy seed, my blessing upon thy offspring. As said, they shall spring up as among the grass and willows by the watercourses. Talking about our Lord Jesus Christ, talking about the Holy Spirit being poured out. Back in Isaiah, prophesied, and Jesus told about it in John. Let's go back to John. I guess I should have told you, hold your place there. We're going to go back to John 6. Chapter 6, and all I want is verse 63. John 6, 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth or make alive. The flesh profited nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit and they are life. Praise the Lord. So there again we see the Spirit is life. You must have the Holy Spirit in your life. Let's go to, we're going to go further down here, but I want to say, I wrote down Romans 1:9. Paul says here, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. We know Paul always mentioned, he prayed for everyone that he knew, met, and probably ones he didn't even know. But he says here, for God is my witness, whom I serve with my Spirit in the gospel of his Son. Let's go over to Romans 8. I know these are very familiar scriptures. We're not going to spend a lot of time in Romans, but Romans 8 is... Well, all of Romans is a beautiful book. Paul has a lot to say here about the difference in the flesh and the spirit. Go to Romans 8 and we'll start in verse 5. Well, let's start up here and down. Well, let's just start in 1. There is therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And then it says, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And I omitted that. Earlene, we studied in this. She said it was omitted in the original text. So we're going to drop down to verse 2 for now. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Pretty plain. Pretty plain, pretty simple. I jump down to verse 9. Oh, verse 8. But so then that they are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Verse 10. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness, of course, by Jesus. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by what? His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. 13. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify or make dead the deeds of the body, ye shall live. So I wrote down here to live in victory. It's important to forget the flesh and all things. I know it's hard. I battle with it every day within my own self. Conflict constantly. But I know that if I simply go to Jesus, call upon the name of Jesus, go to my Heavenly Father in prayer, commune with Him in spirit and in truth, Satan can't touch me. Oh, he can mess with me a while, but he can't have me. So, the Holy Spirit must dwell in you by faith. Faith is another key. Faith in God who raised Jesus Christ from the dead. In verse 17 of this same, well, let's just go on down to 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Father, Father, we belong to Him. We are His sons. The sons of God. We want to grow and be mature. And only by the Spirit can we grow. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 17, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Glorified together in him, Christ Jesus. Wonderful Lord. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I want to go to the second chapter. Start in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man. The natural man that's not filled with the Spirit of God, does not seek the Spirit, does not seek God, does not seek Jesus Christ, he knows not anything of the Spirit of God. He knows nothing. The human wisdom reveals nothing, but the revealed things are communicated and taught in and by the Holy Spirit. Let's go to chapter 3, same book. Chapter 3 and verses 6 and 7. Paul, he says here in verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. God gives the increase. By his Spirit, he gives the increase. You have to be on the same field, as I dare say, must have the Spirit. In Galatians 4, verses 4 through 6. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons, or the placing of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Just goes on to, says, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. The Spirit here makes real, or a fact, we are the sons of God. If we go over here to Galatians 5, The heading, it says, sanctification is through the Spirit, not the law. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do things that you would to natures. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Then we go down here, 19 through 21, it talks about the things, works of the flesh that are manifested. You read those for yourself, you know they're true. Loud, true. But in verse 22, it says, but the fruit of spirit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Verse 25, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. It's a wonderful thing not to have to be worried about the flesh. We're not to worry about it. I know we all do. We worry about it. We battle with it every day. But really, if we just go to Jesus, call upon his name, commune with our Father, go to him in prayer, then you know what? We won't even think about the flesh anymore. You'll be serving and worshiping our Father in spirit. In Ephesians chapter 1, let's go up to verse 6, chapter 1. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, we might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, and even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Praise the Lord. Been sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Doesn't get any better than that, being sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. Go to Colossians 2, next chapter. We're starting verse 5. Maybe I'll start in verse 4. Let me get over there. Let's see here. Maybe I'll start in verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which we have to all saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God and truth. Grace of God and truth. Let's go down to verse 9. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's something, isn't it? Do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. The purpose, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, to the patience and long suffering with joyfulness. Praise the Lord. To be filled with the will, knowledge of His will and all wisdom. Wow. Being fruitful in every good work. Increasing in the knowledge of God. That's amazing to me. Let's go to 1 John. Go to 1 John 4. First John chapter 4, verse 13. Now we'll start in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We heard about that this morning, devotion. Love one another and forgive one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And I want to go back to 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians 5. I'll get there sometime. Now I'm just going to read 19 through 24. First Thessalonians 5, 19 through 24. And the very God of peace, 19, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesyings, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. And I got one more little scripture back here that I wanted to close with because I really like it. It's in Proverbs. Proverbs 20. Proverbs 20, 27. And it's actually corresponded with 1 Corinthians 2, verses 9, 10 through 12. I read earlier, but I wanted to save it for the end. Verse 27 of Proverbs 20. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching all the inward parts of the belly. Everything that we are, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That's pretty, I really like that. And that's all I have for today. And Gordon will be back next week, I'm sure. And I couldn't get away from this week. I tried. I studied some other things and read some tracts and different things. And I had the Lord had given me some other thoughts, actually. But I just kept coming back to that you must worship God in spirit and in truth. And I told Earlene about it Wednesday night. I just couldn't, for some reason, and we've read this over and over, but for some reason, when we went through John, we read that, and then I saw it again on my app that I have for my phone, and it comes up with daily verses every day, different ones. And that one came up again, and when I read John 4:24 as a scripture of the day, it just really hit me all of a sudden about in spirit and in truth. And I know we worship God when we're little, we're children, and even if we're saved, we may not be filled with the Spirit right away. Some are, some aren't, according to you, as you yield, I guess, your life. But I think that to really, what he wants for us, he don't want us just to be saved. He wants us to be filled with his Spirit and to be able to commune with him on a daily basis. Spirit and his Spirit. How else are we going to learn the deep things he has for us? Right, Adina? They're deep, right? And they're deep, they're deep. And as if the Lord tarries, we should continue to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives and cause us to search the deep things of God. So if there's any questions or comments...